That, my friends, is the sound of dropping some serious coin on a takeaway chicken burger. Oh. That's it turning up all stodgy and cold. What a ripper!
Sounds like someone needs the Chicken Witch of the West. Da love, I'll take it from here.
Bing bang bird's eye. Voila, the ultimate bird's eye chicken shop fillet burger, wrapped in tasty southern fried breadcrumbs and made with 100% chicken breast.
Mm.
Well, my work here is done. Cue heroic music. Bit more. Bird's Eye Chicken Shop fillet burgers. Add a bit of magic to your mealtimes.
John and Lucy have been married for 8 years, so they can teach us a thing or two about relationships.
The best way to make a relationship grow is to really ask... What are you doing?
Why are you talking in that voice? Why don't you say it how you say it?
We're giving advice.
Well, I don't feel well placed to give advice.
Why is that then?
Because I'm in a dysfunctional marriage. Oh.
Brand new comedy, Meet the Richardsons.
There might be some people who haven't seen the show, but they won't know that yet.
Thursday at 10 on Dave. Stream for free on UK TV Play.
Gum problems can cause more problems, like bad breath and sensitive teeth, which can knock your confidence and take the enjoyment out of eating and drinking. Corsodil Gum Plus Breath and Sensitivity Toothpaste is scientifically proven to target gum problems to help protect your whole mouth. Rediscover your confidence and the food and drink you love. Try Corsodil Gum Plus Breath and Sensitivity Toothpaste.
At first, he was absolutely certain we were parked on level 2. Then he guaranteed it was on level 3. Then we checked on level 1. Now we are back on level 2 again. Ho ho! I'm lugging the shopping. He keeps pressing the unlock button in the air and going, shh, so we can listen to the beep. Losing the car in the multi-story is less than ideal. But at least I've got my Costa. Because everything's made a little better when your coffee is. Costa Coffee. Made a little better.
Welcome back. Hello and welcome to the World Soccer Talk podcast. My name is Christopher Harris. I am joined by Kartik Krishnayar. We are back after an absence of about a month, actually maybe a little bit more than a month. And on behalf of World Soccer Talk, definitely apologize for that. Things have come up. So one of the things that came up was I was on vacation for about 10 days during spring break. And that was something that kind of definitely impacted. And then Kartik, in terms of on your side, and I know there's been some things happening behind the scenes.
Yeah, so I've had a number of kind of things that have thrown my life into tumult. Most notably, my father being diagnosed with a recurrence of cancer, and he's about to turn 80, and it's a very bad situation, and it happened very suddenly. He was very active, and you know, even drove basically 400 miles in a day. In early February, but went abroad to India. Ended up spending a day in London also on the way back, and was sick the last couple of days of that trip. And it turns out he's got a pretty serious case of cancer. So that's taken me away from things the last 4 weeks, in addition to some other family issues and just everything else going on in life.
Yeah, and that's the thing there too. I mean, really, family is always most important. And that's the thing too. I mean, for a lot of us, listeners too, sometimes, you mean, it is a struggle sometimes between, you mean, whether it's like watching all these soccer games from around the world and so many games available, and then also prioritizing family and work, of course. But Kartik, on behalf of everyone, we hope everything goes well for your dad and that he pulls through. And we're definitely sending a lot of love that way to South Florida and to Miami, hoping that your dad gets better. And he's a big soccer fan. I've met him on a few occasions, and a great guy. So
yeah, thank you. And one of the things he's been doing while he's been laid up, basically, is watching more soccer than usual. And I kind of regret, I guess a little bit of a teaser, kind of regret that when I was over there and he wanted to watch the Dortmund-Bayern match, I didn't stop him from watching it and put the TV on NWSL or Premier League instead, because that game certainly didn't help his mental health at all.
That's the thing, though, too. I mean, like, so even midweek, right, the Chelsea-Liverpool game, I'm not sure if you watched it, but it's that you go in with high hopes sometimes, and you come out of it with, like, oh, my gosh, just a boring 0-0 game between two teams that are definitely far from what they were before. And then other times you go into a game thinking, okay, this is just going to be just an average game, nothing exciting, and all of a sudden it comes alive. And I'm actually sorry I missed the Bayern Munich game midweek with Freiburg in the DFB Pokal. I mean, there's so many games available. You mean, it's hard to pick a winner every time. And like you mentioned too, with the Der Klassiker, again, high hopes going into the game, Dortmund against Bayern Munich, and then, you mean, again, yet again, Dortmund defensively in goalkeeping errors and just crumble under the force of Bayern Munich. I wanted to ask you about that, Kartik, before we kind of go into talking about some of the other things going on from the world of soccer, and there's been a lot happening in the last 4 weeks, is talking about, like, viewing habits and whether they're changing. I mean, there's so many different things happening, right? There's whether it's MLS Season Pass or whether there's new TV deals. So TNT getting rights to U.S. men's national team games, or HBO Max showing some of those games, as well as other leagues, I mean, or cup tournaments, U.S. Open Cup as an example, too, changing hands. I mean, how does that impact your overall, just your viewing habits in terms of, are you watching more of something and less of something else?
Yeah, I guess Paramount Plus is very easy to navigate to watch NWSL. And obviously, I'm those of you who obviously read our site know that I'm covering NWSL weekly for World Soccer Talk. So that's appointment viewing that has a motivation. But yeah, I think my viewing habits are changing, and maybe we'll get into this in a minute. Informally, the viewing habits of others are changing. And even last night, I was at the U.S. Open Cup match between Miami FC and Jacksonville Armada. A lot of the people who go to the Miami FC matches are also Inter-Miami fans. A lot are not, actually. A lot are very hostile to MLS. But that's a whole other conversation. But those that are also Inter-Miami fans have basically said their viewing has dropped off of MLS because of MLS Season Pass, and that you have all of the matches in one block. And if you're going to watch your team, you're not going to watch any other matches. And MLS is not a compelling enough product for them to go back and say, okay, I'm going to watch these games on demand. Again, I've also heard this from professionals in the industry that work in soccer, that USL staggering their kickoffs a little more this year than they have in the past. I don't know if that's by design or it's just a coincidence, given the MLS situation on Apple, is motivating them to watch more USL on ESPN Plus. And one person who works in the game, who actually, I'm going to be as vague as I can, but actually does work with MLS clubs, but also does work with USL clubs and NISA clubs, etc., told me that they haven't even signed up for Apple Season Pass because there's enough free games and they're only going to watch one because they're all at the same time. And USL is staggering their kickoffs. And in many cases, even at that 7:30 p.m. Eastern time slot, they're going to want to watch a USL match. And they have ESPN Plus. They have ESPN Plus anyway because of La Liga and the Bundesliga. And they're motivated to keep it because of USL being there. There's also opportunity throughout the day on Saturday and on Sunday to watch NWSL matches. So this is interesting because it's very early days, Chris, but maybe I was wrong. I always said MLS needed consistent kickoff times. I always said MLS would be better off putting all their games at 7:30 local time. And perhaps I was wrong. I mean, it's all anecdotal evidence, what I'm hearing. Granted, it's not scientific, but it's it really debunks my preconceived notion that that having a standard kickoff time and appointment viewing is a positive thing. But it is a positive thing for the Premier League. So maybe it's just that MLS isn't evolved enough as a product or compelling enough as a product to make it work. Or it's just the people I happen to be talking to.
Yeah, there's some great points there, Kartik. So before I get to the MLS season pass points you raised, which are really interesting, I think personally, and I'm sure some of our listeners probably feel the same way too, is that sometimes I go through kind of periods where I'm watching maybe outside of soccer. I might be like going through Netflix, watching a lot of Netflix, and then all of a sudden next month I'm watching more Amazon Prime, or the following month, or a different time, it might be HBO Max, and then I'm not watching as much of on Netflix, and so on and so forth. So I do go through different cycles. So when I'm watching entertainment, looking for shows or documentaries or movies, I mean, it's hit and miss. It's not consistent. So I think it's the same way with soccer and streaming. Is, I mean, right now I'm probably watching more Peacock and less ESPN Plus. And it may change next month where I start watching maybe more Paramount Plus or another streaming service showing games. So I think part of that is that, I mean, I don't know what it is there. If it's just like looking for content, looking for entertainment, and watching it on different places. But going back to the MLS Season Pass thing, This is really interesting, right? In terms of what Major League Soccer and Apple has been doing, there was that unverified report earlier this week saying that MLS numbers, in terms of the number of subscribers that have signed up for MLS Season Pass, were way below the expectations and the goals that MLS had set, which was actually it's at 40% of what of where they expected to be. So they're well below, if that information is correct. However, Kartik, with Major League Soccer, to me personally, watching MLS Season Pass every weekend, and you've probably been watching more of the ESPN Plus and watching more of the USL, I like that it's concentrated. Most of the games are concentrated between that 7:30 Eastern time and 10:30 Eastern time, I mean, roughly. Because I think, taken as a whole, MLS is stronger together. So when I'm watching MLS 360 and there's a couple of boring games on, but some of the other games come alive, something controversial happens, or some amazing goal, or something happens in those games. Collectively, as a whole, MLS is actually stronger, having everything put together in one, and you're watching it and having some, I mean, whether it's Lee McHugh or Kalen Kyle or others, Sasha Kleiston or Bradley Wright Phillips, talking you through it. If you had it before, which is what we had before, right, with MLS, where the games were kind of all at different times of the day, different days of the week, everything's so stretched out. To me, that actually decreases the entertainment value of what MLS is putting out there. What do you think, Kartik?
I agree if you're into the league, right? But and I've always been an advocate for simultaneous kickoffs, and I mean, I have the evidence of the league I worked in, NASL, advocating every match kickoff at 7:30. The exceptions were matches in Canada because we had a TV deal up there, and so what TSN or Rogers wanted to do is kind of where we were stuck, right? And it was usually a bad time slot, but matches in the United States. Consistent kickoff times, because I thought that was also part of it. One, you drive ticket sales by being consistent in your market. At the same time, you drive viewership, and then you build more interest in the league, because if the game someone's watching is bad, they can flip to another game, which is not always the case with USL. I mean, there have been some duds. There was a Friday night USL match a few weeks ago I watched, Pittsburgh and Miami, which was just an absolute dud, and there was nowhere else to go, right? If you were going to go anywhere else, you're going to start watching basketball or baseball, right? You weren't going to watch another soccer match because there was nothing else going on simultaneously. But That having been said, again, I can't. I have my own personal preferences. You have your own personal preferences. It is multiple people who have told me this, right? Including, as I said, more than one person who works in the game, and I gave kind of the description of one of the people who was actually, you know, involved with MLS clubs, that said this is just no good for them. Because I guess if you're someone who works in the game and you want to watch multiple matches, them all being at the same time is not helpful. And then for some of the fans, they feel like, okay, I want to watch Orlando City or Inter Miami, and there are 10 other games going on at the same time, so I'm never going to go back and watch those games. I don't have any interest in that. Whereas USL and NWSL are staggering their kickoffs and remain on kind of more mainstream streaming services.
Yeah, for me personally, I'm watching more MLS this season than I have in a few years. So I'm tuning into MLS 360 every weekend, something I'm looking forward to every Saturday night, 7:30, switching it on and see what happens. And with no expectations, and usually no specific match I want to watch. I just want to be entertained. And for the most part, it has been entertaining. However, I'm not the average person. But that's the thing, though, too, Kartik. When you look at, say, the Premier League as the perfect example, is the Premier League better or more exciting because it has that 10 a.m. to noon block of time where there's four or five matches happening at the same time, and a lot of people are watching Goal Rush, or a bunch of people are watching it on USA Network and watching a specific game, or watching an individual game on Peacock, while the other games are padded, right? You have a early 7:30 a.m. Eastern Time kickoff that's usually a pretty big game. The 12:30 one, which is also usually a big game too. Sometimes a 2:45 Eastern Time kickoff, which is another one. But then the big games then are scheduled then on the Sunday morning. 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time is always the biggest game of the weekend. And then you have the game on the Monday. So the way that they've scheduled it, they've structured it, is they're encouraging you. You don't have to, but they're encouraging you to start watching on Saturday morning Eastern Time, all the way through for basically about 5 to 6 or 7 hours, and then to come back on Sunday morning and watching it again for another 4 hours, and then come back on Monday, if you want to watch another 2 hours, versus MLS, where they've put almost all the matches in that time, and they often have that earlier kickoff, kind of a 4:30 Eastern Time kickoff on Fox, which is also on MLS Season Pass. However, that game so far this season has been a dud for the most part. That game hasn't been the exciting game. Fox's coverage hasn't been that great. So it's kind of like a downer leading into the night of MLS 360, which I think is the best thing they've ever done. But yeah, I think a lot of it comes back to personal tastes. But for me personally, I'm watching more.
Yeah, I think one of the caveats I have to throw out there is, at least among the people I've talked to in South Florida, MLS and USL, and I know I've heard this from someone who works at Miami FC, thus far this season have had conflicts with those of you who don't follow other sports in college basketball, both the University of Miami and Florida Atlantic University. We have three big universities in South Florida. Two of them, well, actually, we have four big universities in South Florida. One of them won the Division II basketball title. Two of the other three, which are UM and FAU, the third being Florida International, which is actually where Miami FC plays, those two went to the Final Four, so of Division I men's. So the audience in South Florida has been distracted, and the games for either FAU or Miami have been always conflicting with Miami FC games or Inter Miami games. It's just, I think, a coincidence that happened, and it's a one-off that these schools made this run. But I think that has affected viewership down here, and I'm told it's affected attendance down here as well. So that's a caveat on the TV viewing. But even when there hasn't been the conflict and people have been watching, they're complaining about two things, which is the lump of games, so they can't watch other games. And I have to come back to this issue because it keeps coming up, and it keeps coming up in our listener mailbag, and it keeps coming up on social media, the lack of availability of a team-specific pass. I hear that from everyone. And that's something I think, regardless of whether that report, which is unverified, is true, I tend to believe MLS over promises media partners. They have a long history of doing that, so it doesn't surprise me if it is true. But I think one thing they have to change is the lack of a team-specific pass. There are just too many people who are team-specific, club-specific, who do not care about what happens to Real Salt Lake or Colorado or New York Red Bulls, and they might just be a Sporting KC fan, and that's all they want to watch.
However, if they stick to their guns, right, and stay with what they have, which is the $99 subscription fee for the season with MLS Season Pass, for me personally, I'm seeing more of, I don't know, Colorado, New England, Real Salt Lake, San Jose, some of these other teams that I really don't really care much about. I mean, I'm watching more of teams that I would have never watched before, basically, or would have watched very little because of the way they've structured it. So in some ways, it's almost like training wheels, because MLS has to, well, first of all, MLS has to decide, do they want to generate most of the revenue from television and streaming or from ticket sales? And it's a fight between the two. Ticket sales, I mean, the reason for the Premier League's success and how they've become a behemoth, really, in world soccer, most of that is due to TV revenue. Them being able to sign the biggest players in the world for the most part, even clubs like Brighton or Aston Villa or Leeds United being able to sign some big stars because they have that money from the TV revenue side of things. MLS has been, like you mentioned, Kartik, has been very much local team specific. So they've done well selling tickets to games, and those fans are interested in watching that team. And that when they're playing away, watching those away games on oftentimes in the past regional sports networks. However, to grow as a league, I really feel that they really need to become bigger and generate more money from TV revenue. And with this Apple experiment, this is what's happening now, is that we're seeing that conflict between the two. We're seeing the conflict between the people that you're talking to. Anecdotally, they're saying like, hey, I just want to watch my team. I don't care about those other teams. And for the majority of MLS fans, that's how they feel. They don't really care. We've seen that from TV ratings, historically speaking, is that outside of your favorite team, they're not interested in watching the rest of the league.
And let me say something on this, too. The 7:30 simultaneous kickoffs help ticket sales. I have no doubt in my mind about that. That's really the big reason I pushed it with NASL. We didn't have a TV profile. We had a Gold TV deal, and then we had a BN deal, right? Those were largely insignificant. So I think in terms of pushing ticket sales, they're probably in a better place than ever, with the kickoffs not bouncing around from time to time with the occasion of that one Fox game, and with fans who may not be season ticket holders, knowing when their local team will play. It'll be 7:30 on a Saturday night. Let's buy a ticket.
I agree.
And so that's probably more important to MLS, unfortunately. I mean, I agree with what you're saying. I think their media, they have to generate more money from media rights and more money from sponsorships, although sponsorships have been ticking up as well for them. Expansion has helped drive that. But ticket sales, I think this Apple deal works better for them for selling tickets than people are giving them credit for. So while we might be analyzing the deal just as a media deal, a TV deal, we have to consider that allowing MLS to streamline their kickoff times may create enough of an uptick in ticket sales. And then ticket sales, because almost all the MLS teams control their revenue, means increased parking money, increased concession money, and all the ancillary things that go on around the game. So it's probably increased revenue for each club based on having a solid kickoff time every week.
So for some background, too, for listeners who may not know, so World Soccer Talk has been around for 18 years, and our niche really is that we're the TV guide of soccer in the United States. So we have TV listings for all the leagues. We have articles, videos, podcasts about how to watch games, how to watch leagues, how to watch streaming services. We have an app that goes in and shows you how to watch every single game, who's showing which games. So that's been our niche. We also cover news, etc. But so from the last, maybe the last 18 years, we're looking at those metrics, looking and seeing trends and seeing which leagues are more popular than others. With MLS Season Pass, definitely the first 3 weeks, there was a lot of interest in the streaming service and finding out more information about how it works. After week three, that dropped dramatically. Part of it's probably a comfort level, and okay, people know now what it's about, know how much it costs. Still struggling with trying to figure out how to switch off spoilers and how to watch games on replay, those things. But those are things that are pains and issues, hopefully, that will be dealt with. However, so taking that into consideration, looking at the metrics that we've seen where there has been a drop-off, and that unverified report on Twitter that mentioned that Apple and MLS, the numbers are far below what they expected it to hit. Kartik, if you're a Major League Soccer, how do you change that? What changes do you make to get people subscribing to MLS Season Pass? What has to change?
Well, there's structural changes that they're not going to make. So, I mean, I go through this all the time. And, in fact, it's funny. Last night at the Miami FC Jacksonville Open Cup game, I got into a conversation with some fans of both teams about calendar change. And that keeps coming up. I mean, and again, right, we're talking about two teams from Florida. So I concede that. The Jacksonville fans don't like the current calendar, and the Miami fans don't really like it. They're not as hostile to it, although I think they're still pretty hostile to it. But that's one thing, I think. And then obviously promotion and relegation, obviously more marketing of young players. Let's think about this. You know, Newcastle sitting third in the Premier League. One of the reasons they're there is because of a guy who was a star in MLS, in Almiron. We talked about Derek Klassiker. Davies, after a kind of a shaky start the first 20 minutes, had a really good game. Another MLS guy. So there are stories they can market the league around. But I think that they still haven't found that sweet spot in terms of what will drive interest from core soccer fans. Or maybe they're still kind of in the casual sports space. But I do think this is one place where I think you and I disagree. I know you tweeted the other day that they need more meaningful transfers. I don't think that's it. I think there's a lack of ambiance at the games outside of Seattle and Portland, and maybe, you know, Sporting, Cincinnati, actually, their new thing, it looks really, really good. But there are exceptions, right? Nashville's an exception also. But lack of ambiance, lack of meaningful context around the matches. The regular season seems to have no real discernible impact on the playoffs. And a lack of context around things. And my experience from working in the game, and again, it's lower divisions, it's USL, it's NASL, it's NISA, it's NPSL, is that results and the quality of play matter a lot less than those ancillary things, those things on the side that have to be marketed properly, and the ambiance at the stadium, the experience. So when you turn it on a match, you have to feel like it's a big event. You turn on a match from the Premier League or even the Championship, Bundesliga, to a lesser extent La Liga, no longer the case with Serie A, which might be why it's struggling in this country. You get the feeling you're watching an event. You don't get that with an MLS match. With some exceptions, with notable exceptions. Austin would be another exception. But I would still say the majority of clubs, majority of home venues, you don't get that feeling.
So I would imagine that right now MLS executives in their headquarters in New York City are scrambling, trying to explain why the numbers are not as great as they should be or could be or what they were projected. And it's very likely that that unverified source that unverified report is valid based on what we're seeing in terms of even basically talking to soccer fans and interacting with them, answering the questions, seeing the trends and search traffic in terms of what people are saying. And we're very much kind of tapped into that. However, at this time in the history of Major League Soccer, MLS is on an equal playing field in some ways in terms of, in the past, a lot of the criticisms about MLS was the TV coverage, even the camera work, the production, what it looked like. And I would say in terms of picture quality, in terms of the number of cameras in a stadium, an MLS game looks almost as good as a Premier League match, which is a huge, huge improvement And same thing with the Bundesliga. The Bundesliga and the Premier League are two of the best produced soccer games globally. When you're watching a game, it really, it feels like you're right there in close-ups, the atmosphere, everything. So we have an equal playing field. So it's, the production's much improved. It's great to watch. So that's not the difference maker. I would say, Kartik, that in terms of player transfers, what I'm really talking about when I tweeted to say, hey, the one thing that's missing, I think, big time, is those transfer signings. And it's Messi. You mean, like, the MLS may not get Messi. Maybe they will get Messi. But that's the thing that would change this. Overnight, all of a sudden, people would sign up like crazy to get MLS season pass just to watch Messi. However, that's a Band-Aid, because that's not fixing the problem. All it is saying, okay, hey, let's put a name on this, and people, you mean, subscriptions would spike overnight because of one player, but that doesn't fix the issues.
And there's one other issue that I should mention that you had mentioned the last time we recorded, which, as you said, was 5 or 6 weeks ago, whenever it was, that was mentioned to me by one of these people who works in the game. And again, it might be personal preferences. It might be because people who are insiders like this person and myself have certain likes and dislikes, but this person said to me, JP Telecamera not being part of Apple Season Pass and calling NWSL games instead. He used Telecamera and Dave Johnson as an example. That makes him want to watch NWSL instead of watching MLS. And this is a person who works in the game and says, like, the people who I've trusted for years to deliver American soccer to me are calling NWSL, or in some cases USL, matches. And you have all these kind of new, young, former players on the Apple side, and I don't really like it, and I think they come with an agenda. And I kind of pushed back against that with this person. I said, look, I mean, I see what Apple's trying to do. I see what MLS is trying to do. But yeah, I too don't like the fact they don't have JP Delacamera or Dave Johnson or Dwight Burgess or, you know, any number of guys, Joe Tolleson, any number of people that I've been comfortable with over the years and that I respect. And in fact, JP Delacamera was doing an NWSL game this past weekend on Paramount Plus. So that's another issue. And you raised that issue initially, Chris, so I have to give you a lot of credit for that, because I thought maybe it was just an issue for you. And now I've heard it from someone in the game that I respect, that isn't into the media stuff at all, but, you know, brought this up and brought it up very directly with me and named names.
I'll push back on that one, Kartik, because I think at the end of the day, it's personal preference. So you've got Taylor Twellman, you've got Keith Costigan, you've got Danny Higginbotham, you've got Steve Cangelosi. I mean, there's plenty of really good commentators and co-commentators to keep most people really involved and engaged in games. And some are better than others. And yeah, JP would be fantastic to have him calling those games. But maybe it was more of a travel concern, where he'd be have to fly nationwide to cover these games. And maybe he just didn't want to do that. Maybe it's a personal preference on his part. I'm not sure. But what I would say, though, is that because MLS Season Pass, to me, for a cord cutter, is perfect. The price could be better, yes. But in terms of what it's offering, no blackouts, consistent kickoff times, the whip around show, all the bells and whistles, and it's not perfect by any means, and hopefully it'll get better. However, I think it ignores, I mean, so the streaming side, I'm confident in. The part that I'm less confident in is meaningful games. And with MLS putting more teams making the playoffs, it means that after the initial buzz of opening weekends and the first few weeks of the season, where there's new stadiums, there's St. Louis City FC, there's some new players, etc., new kits, kind of that kind of initial buzz. After about 3 weeks, every single year this happens. This is not this year. This has been going on for probably a decade. That initial new season buzz wears off. And then you have April, May, June, where there's games happening, but they're less meaningful because so many of the teams make the playoffs. Why should I tune in every week to watch these games? What incentive do I have? At the same time, when there's some, you mean, it's April, May, June is, you mean, or basically March, April, May are some of the best times and busiest times in Europe in terms of watching soccer there, whether it's cup finals or whether it's end of season or it's relegation battles, wherever they may be. So I think that's something that MLS has ignored in terms of making the regular season meaningful and sticking to a format that's just like baseball or just like NFL football, sticking to those American formats. And it's not working. It's not compelling enough during the regular season. I think, Kartik, honestly, MLS should just go to a Liga MX model and have a split season. And, I mean, that way it keeps people engaged.
We did that with, yeah, that was another thing we did with NASL that I there was so much pushback against it when we did it, from our own fans, that how this is terrible, you know, how can you do this? It ruins the regular season. And then it made every match in the league really meaningful, almost. I shouldn't say this, but almost too meaningful. I mean, the first two seasons in NASL, we had had a playoff format like MLS, where just about everybody gets in, and we had had the last team to qualify both years, the bottom team, made the finals both seasons, and so as a result of that, we changed the format, but it almost made it such that you didn't have much margin for error, which I kind of, you know, I wasn't in love with, right? It was very difficult to qualify for postseason in the NASL after we went to that format, but it worked. And the justification was, okay, there's not much margin for error, but guess what? Things reset when you go to the fall season. So we had a spring season and a fall season. And I think that creates context. And with MLS, it's even better because you can break it up with Leagues Cup in the middle. The problem we had, the complication we had with NASL was Open Cup. And taking a break in the middle hurt some of our teams that had advanced deep in Open Cup and then suddenly didn't have league games when they were in a break when they got to the round of 16 or the quarterfinals of the Open Cup. So that was kind of costly for our clubs in terms of Open Cup. But MLS has the Leagues Cup going on, and they will have Open Cup going on at the same time. So I think it's something that they need to consider. And the other thing they need to consider is something where you give a built-in advantage to the home team. This is another Liga MX formula. Home team, the higher seeded team, the team that had more points. Maybe if it's a draw, you don't go to extra time. The team that had more points in the regular season wins and advances, or doesn't win, but they advance.
Right. Yeah, I think obviously it's too late for this season with MLS and Apple, and I really hope that MLS is more introspective, is listening to opinions and feedback and what the fans are saying, because in many ways what's happening now with MLS Season Pass is a wake-up moment, is a moment to realize that you have to change. You have to evolve. You can't keep on doing the same format year after year and then just increasing the number of teams, making the playoffs, scheduling games towards the time of the season where there's college football, there's NFL, there's, you mean, kind of World Series, all these other things happening at that end of the season when, you mean, in the summertime, we're craving, you mean, good quality games to watch. And yes, Leagues Cup fills that this summer. But like you said, Kartik, I think it'd be better to have, I mean, two seasons, a split season, kind of a spring season, and then Leagues Cup right in the middle, and then do a fall season. And then you have two champions throughout the season. And maybe in that final eventual game, you have an MLS Cup that pits the spring winner against the fall winner in an even bigger game. So there are opportunities here for MLS to really change and evolve, and I really hope that they do, because otherwise, Ian, if MLS Season Pass, if Messi does not sign and they stick to the same type of format that they have, this could end real quickly. We know, we've reported that Apple has an out clause, an opt-out clause, if they wanted to, if the numbers don't hit the marks that they're wanting to hit, Apple could pull out of this in a few years. I hope they have patience. I hope they have the patience to stick with this, because this could turn into something bigger and better than what it is. And I think in some ways, the worry I have, Kartik, is next season. is does MLS look at 2023 season and say, oh my gosh, we hired so much talent. We hired, I think, about 90 to 95 people across English language, Spanish language, French language. We have commentators at all the games on site. We have the MLS 360 crew. We have a MLS studio set up for the Spanish language. Season number 2, 2024, we need to scale back big time. We need to cut corners. We need to figure out ways to minimize our expenses because we're not making as much money as we thought we would be making. And that's what I hope that they don't do, because the quality is there. The quality on the product is there. Yes, it can be better. Yes, there's things to fix. Yes, there are improvements to be made. However, I think the big issue is just the league format. Is give us a reason to keep on tuning in every week, other than MLS 360. And maybe that is the answer. Maybe offer a team-specific subscription model within within MLS Season Pass, but make it so that it is cost-effective and not super cheap. But maybe there's a middle of the road price that someone can sign up and still get MLS Season Pass and see it for their team. And if they want to watch other teams, they can, but it gives them an incentive, and maybe it doesn't give them all the options of all the other coverage available. Maybe it gives them a limited coverage, but that certainly would be a step in the right direction. All right, Kartik, before we talked a lot about MLS Season Pass, this is a very kind of fluid conversation. What about U.S. Open Cup? So U.S. Open Cup, about a year ago, perhaps, or might have been 9 months ago, we reported, you interviewed Cindy Parlow-Cohn to get more insights in terms of the U.S. Open Cup and the coverage of that with the new deal with Turner Sports, which includes Bleacher Report. And now we're in the reality, Kartik, of 2023 U.S. Open Cup, going through the different rounds, the early rounds. What's your take on what we're seeing and some of the concerns you may have?
Yeah, it's pretty disastrous, and I've penned an article about this over at Beyond the 90, and had lively conversations on Twitter, which I think you were tagged in one of them, Chris. But it's been a real disappointment, because what we've had is Turner only picks up a few matches a week, which is great. You know, the matches they pick up, they're producing well, it's fine. And it's on the BR app, Bleacher Report app, and also on YouTube, which is an added advantage over what ESPN Plus did, because then you have the archives. I'm going to go back at some point today and watch the Detroit City match, which was on Bleacher Report, and it's on YouTube. The problem is they're not picking up all the games. And now I understand this is less of a Turner issue and more of a U.S. soccer issue, and U.S. soccer not wanting to pay for the production of as many matches as they did in the past to put on ESPN Plus, because basically ESPN Plus wanted everything, right? So they produced, U.S. soccer paid to produce every match. So now we have a situation where only a few matches in each round are being broadcast professionally for Turner, and we're getting otherwise kind of haphazard streams with some poor camera work and some poor commentating, or we're getting nothing at all. So we had a match last night in the state, Tampa Bay Rowdies versus Nona FC, which is a club from Orlando. And by the way, those who don't know, that area is developed by Daniel Levy and Joe Lewis, Nona, Lake Nona area. So that, you know, Spurs owner. So there's a connection there to the Premier League. Anyway, they have a match last night in Open Cup, which was not broadcast at all. And in fact, in writing the match summary this morning, I just said, oh, here was the score, and I don't know what happened in the match, right? I mean, because that's what something that happened in that match, and there were other matches in the first round that weren't broadcast. And then you have club run broadcasts. So last night I watched San Antonio after I got back from Miami Jacksonville, which I attended in person. San Antonio versus Club León, which is not from León, but actually from Central Florida. They're a NISA team, a third division team, and that was a match cast produced by San Antonio FC, which was pretty good. But again, it was not something. It was something San Antonio FC had to pay for, which is not something they've had to do in the past. So I'm concerned that the Federation doesn't take this competition seriously. They're focused on the national teams. They're focused on fending off lawsuits, since they're obviously always involved in litigation, mostly by virtue of their own actions. They get sued a lot. And they're letting the cup competition, which is the greatest single driver potentially of grassroots soccer interests in this country, and that's what the U.S. Soccer Federation exists for. It doesn't exist to field national teams. And that's one function. But the actual mission of they are a nonprofit, let's remember, is to grow the game in this country. They're letting a competition that grows grassroots interest in the sport kind of wither on the vine. And I can tell you from last night, there were Jacksonville fans who made the trip from Duval County or St. Johns County, wherever they are in your area, actually, Chris, down to South Florida because they weren't sure if the match would be streamed. So they made the three and a half hour, 4 hour drive, however long it is, both ways. So 8 hours, 9 hours. And it turns out the match was streamed, but there was some concern about that. And that's something that I think is on U.S. soccer, and they have to remember what their mission is. It's not just about the national teams. It's about growing soccer throughout this country. And in terms of Turner versus ESPN+, I'm going to defend Turner a little bit here. I think the issue is a USSF issue, and I do like the fact that Turner is putting games on YouTube so you can go back and watch them later. You could do that on ESPN+, but they eventually disappear, right? And I think you know this. Finding matches on demand on ESPN+ is a real chore. So that much I really like Turner, what they're doing.
So two questions here, Kartik. First of all is, for those games that are not streamed, and you have experience with this, I mean, roughly, how much would it cost a club, or how much would it cost U.S. soccer to go ahead, roughly, to go ahead and produce that game? And then the second question is the U.S. Soccer Federation that financially in a tough situation where they can't afford to actually cover the costs to produce these games that are not shown?
Gum problems can cause more problems, like bad breath and sensitive teeth, which can knock your confidence and take the enjoyment out of eating and drinking. Corsodil Gum Plus Breath and Sensitivity Toothpaste is scientifically proven to target gum problems to help protect your whole mouth. Rediscover your confidence and the food and drink you love. Try Corsodil Gum Plus Breath and Sensitivity Toothpaste.
That, my friends, is the sound of dropping some serious coin on a takeaway chicken burger. That's it turning up all stodgy and cold. What a ripper!
Sounds like someone needs the Chicken Witch of the West. Da love, I'll take it from here.
Bing bang bird's eye. Voila, the ultimate bird's eye chicken shop fillet burger. Wrapped in tasty southern fried breadcrumbs and made with 100% chicken breast. Well, my work here is done. Cue heroic music. Bit more.
Bird's eye chicken shop fillet burgers. Add a bit of magic to your mealtimes. John and Lucy have been married for 8 years, so they can teach us a thing or two about relationships.
The best way to make a relationship grow is to really ask...
What are you doing?
Why are you talking in that voice? Why don't you say it how you say it?
We're giving advice.
Well, I don't feel well placed to give advice.
Why is that then?
Because I'm in a dysfunctional marriage. Oh.
Brand new comedy, Meet the Richardsons.
There might be some people who haven't seen the show, but they won't know that yet.
Thursday at 10 on Dave. Stream for free on UK TV Play.
I'm at my son's school concert. His class came out first, sang two rounds of Frère Jacques, bowed, and that was it. He's done his bit, and the show doesn't finish for 2 more hours. Forcing a smile while other people's kids blow into squeaky recorders is less than ideal, but at least I've got my Costa, because everything's made a little better when your coffee is. Costa Coffee, made a little better.
Yeah, first, for kind of a bare bones production, you can do $10,000 or $15,000. That is not a lot of money in the bigger scheme of things, but it's a ton of money for local clubs, right? USL clubs, they can afford to do it. That's why San Antonio did it, although Tampa Bay didn't. So that's a question mark. Now, in terms of U.S. soccer being financially strapped, I guess, I mean, they shut down the Development Academy also, which is something that was done at least ostensibly due to financial considerations. Now, there are people in the game who tell me it was done to benefit MLS because MLS was ready to go with MLS Next. So it was another case of the Federation allegedly, I stress allegedly, colluding with MLS. But let's take the Federation at their word. They shut down the entire National Development Academy, which was having some success. And Chris, you've dealt with that, you had dealt with the DA personally as a parent. They shut it down ostensibly for financial reasons. So they and I know how much these lawsuits and lawyers' fees are costing them. They are a nonprofit. Their financial statements are available. There's transparency there, and you see the lawyer fees
for.
Yeah, tens of millions now, actually. So, I guess they are financially strapped. But still, if you're going to prioritize anything, I think you have to prioritize this competition. Even if that takes a little bit away from promotion of the men's and women's national team, which seem to get plenty of promotion and plenty of media anyway. So, and there is a certain degree of disgust right now among grassroots soccer fans with the way this is being handled, and people are angry at Turner. And I'm saying, hey, if you're angry, redirect your anger towards the Federation itself. It's not a Turner versus ESPN issue. Turner would produce the games exactly like ESPN did if they were given the same budget from the Federation. They haven't been.
Yeah, it's definitely a sad situation for a tournament that is very similar to the FA Cup in terms of the way it's structured. And we've seen with the FA Cup in recent years how it has grown. Like a few years ago, there were a lot of talk about kind of scrapping or having Premier League teams not participate or having B-sides, reserve sides enter instead. And we've seen in terms of the promotion and investment put into the FA Cup, as well as the broadcasts have improved and they've got a whip-around show, which is not perfect, but it's an improvement, how things have improved there. So Kartik, one more item of discussion before we head into the listener mailbag is next week CBS Sports are launching a brand new 24/7 soccer streaming channel. It's called the CBS Sports Golazo Network, and it's going to have a bunch of different things featured on it. So some of it's going to be reruns of games that are available through Paramount Plus and other places, as well as CBS broadcasts. Some of it's going to be original documentaries that are going to be streaming, as well as I'm sure there'll be some games on there now and again, too, for us to watch. So in many ways, I kind of think of it more as Pluto TV, where they have hundreds of free ad-supported television where you find a channel and you can watch, I don't know, Antiques Roadshow channel 24/7, where it's continuously running and there's commercials, lots of commercials throughout the day. So that's kind of the thinking behind CBS Sports Golazo Network. And they do have a morning show that's going to launch on April the 11th. It's called Morning Footy. And that will cover, I think, from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., cover the latest news and discussion. And from time to time, they'll probably have some of the guests from some of CBS Sports's maybe Champions League coverage or Europa League coverage coming on to join the show.
So this is really interesting, the amount of promotion CBS has put behind this, because every NCAA, I mentioned the NCAA tournament men's basketball, I ended up watching the whole thing because, as I said, two local teams advanced deep in the tournament. There were constant reads during the NCAA tournament matches about the Golazo channel, which I kind of annoyed me in the sense that I thought, okay, maybe they should do more NWSL, like split it, not have four reads a match about Golazo during the game, right? It's basketball during the basketball game, but they were really promoting it hard. And what was interesting, Chris, is the first weekend they were saying the first 24/7 soccer network, And I think there was pushback probably because of Gold TV and Fox Soccer Channel in the past, Fox Soccer Channel. So then by the second weekend of the NCAA tournament, the Reed was the first free, because it is, 24/7 soccer network. So they had to correct that. And I think maybe it wasn't Gold TV. They're probably not aware of these reads. It was probably Fox who said, hey, wait a second. We did that for a while. We had a 24/7 soccer network.
Yeah, so it'll be available on Paramount Plus as well as the CBS Sports app. And I believe Pluto TV will have it too. So it'll be available in a bunch of different places. The challenge with this one, Kartik, honestly, and we've seen this before. We used to sponsor hosting a show called Soccer Morning with Jason Davis from SiriusXM FC, and it was a daily show. I think from 7 to 9, also every single day, weekdays, that talked about the latest news, talked about the games coming up, interviewed a lot of people inside US soccer, and was very successful. And then Jason got hired by SiriusXM FC and has now been doing their show for several years, talking about American soccer. However, that's the thing about Morning Footy. Now more than ever, when Soccer Morning was on, soccer was not as fractured, the actual community, as it is now. Now it's like you can have fans that are just into women's soccer that are not interested in anything else. You can have fans that are into NWSL, not interested in anything else other than maybe the national team. You've got fans of the Bundesliga, hardcore Bundesliga fans that are not interested in the Premier League. Or you have fans of the Premier League that are not interested in anything else. You have MLS fans that just watch their local MLS team and will watch maybe a US game now and again. So it's going to be really difficult for a morning show in 2023 to try to cater to whichever audience they're going to go after, which I think a lot of it's going to be determined and based on the rights that they have. So they'll definitely talk about Serie A. They'll definitely talk about NWSL, Champions League, Europa League. They will talk about MLS, even though they don't have MLS rights. As we saw from the interview that Kyle did a couple of weeks ago with the CBS Sports producer, where he talked about kind of that they're definitely certainly going to kind of dive deep into talking about the American soccer players playing in Europe and how they're doing and you mean did they score a goal and whatever the latest kind of topics are in regarding that. I don't know, Kartik. This is going to be really difficult to make this work, to keep everyone satisfied. And if they can't keep everyone satisfied, who are they going for? Who are they trying to appeal to? And it seems to be based on the talent that they've hired and based on in that interview that we did, it sounds like they're focused on the American soccer fan who will cover where Christian Pulisic goes. So maybe they were a big Dortmund fan, now they're a Chelsea fan, but if Pulisic goes to, I don't know, Norwich City or Leeds United, then they become like kind of a Leeds fan watching all the Leeds games. So it sounds like they're kind of very focused on American soccer and where those players are going and then talking about the other news of the day. To me personally, Kartik, that does not interest me at all. But now it does interest some people, I'm sure. What about you?
No, it doesn't interest me at all. I mean, in fact, I think you need to do something like Sirius has done with the Counterattack show with Tony Meola and Eric Winalda, where they talk about Europe, even though it's two former USMNT players. They're more comfortable talking American soccer, but they know enough about Europe. And Tony Meola knows a lot about Serie A in particular. But Winalda, the Bundesliga, and they both watch enough Premier League to where I generally don't listen to these programs. I've started listening to them for some analysis of Europe, and then they'll get into American soccer. And obviously, Winalda's worldview of American soccer is kind of similar to mine. So maybe it's again personal preferences, but you have to mix the two is my point. And I'm afraid this morning show on CBS may not be doing that. They may be thinking they have to go with a strictly American angle.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. We'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they'll surprise us. Maybe they'll do it a little bit differently. However, yeah, I don't know. It's going to be really difficult to make this happen. And maybe over time it'll change. It'll evolve and trying to figure out what works. The one more thing about this too, which is the part of the UEFA Champions League coverage by CBS Sports that I don't like, is the way that they play to the camera, where it's like they're trying to create social media moments and they're trying to do something wild and goofy and wacky. That's really sometimes it's good, but sometimes it's like, oh God. And then that's on social media everywhere. They're basically tweeting it out or posting it on the different social media platforms, on the CBS Sports Golasso, where it's just too much. It's just, they keep on all the time just kind of just trying to get that to be the talking point. And that goes back to what NBC Sports, when we've interviewed them many, many times, going back to 2013 when we first spoke with them, and they said that their role is not to get in the way. That basically what they're doing, they're broadcasting the games. The games themselves are the most important reason that people are tuning in. Yes, they will provide analysis and discussion and thoughts before a game and at halftime and post-match, but they are not the stars of the show. The stars of the show are on the field, on the pitch, the teams that we watch every week in, week out. And I think CBS Sports definitely have forgotten that. They're trying to make their shows almost bigger or more important than the games itself. And that's my concern with Morning Footy, is they'll start doing some goofy stuff and trying to make social media moments and viral, hoping that they go viral and try to push that rather than giving really good analysis. Yes, sure, some comedic relief now and again. So it just, like, for me, it just rubs me the wrong way. I just don't believe in that. And maybe for social media, for them, it's good. But for me as a viewer, that's a big turnoff.
Yeah, I agree. And I think as NBC's coverage of the Premier League evolves, and they've added the Two Robbies podcast and the Lowdown, which, by the way, Lowdown, I highly recommend you should watch that every week, because Rebecca Lowe has some really strong and well-formed opinions about the league. She's not just a presenter, right? She can analyze too. They've been able to maybe satisfy some people who are looking for moments while keeping their coverage very consistent. CBS, honestly, and again, maybe it's the right formula because different competitions and different audiences are different. I see the way they broadcast Champions League is very different than the way they broadcast Serie A, and it's different than the way they broadcast CONCACAF or NWSL. Actually, NWSL this past weekend, Jackie Oatley was stateside calling the match in a very kind of traditional way that a women's soccer match would be called. And it wasn't about generating social media moments, right? Unlike their Champions League coverage. So it was very, I think they're kind of all over the place. And maybe they're so all over the place, Chris, that Golasso Network will work because there'll be something for everybody. So maybe that's where they're going with it.
Maybe. We'll see. All right. Speaking of well-informed opinions, let's move on to Listener Mailbag. The first two I'll read back-to-back, and this is discussing MLS 360. First is Turfit, and Turfit says, why are commercials during the MLS 360 whip-around show acceptable? With the price that they're asking for the service, there should not be any commercials while players are on the field playing in a match. Gold Rush on Peacock and Paramount Plus does not have commercials. Mercator says, I cannot stress how disappointed I am that MLS 360 has commercials and that it was not raised again during the pod. This is the number one issue with MLS Season Pass, and for all the supporter culture discussion that goes on, the most fundamental rule in soccer is don't show commercials during the damn matches. And this wasn't raised at all. It's even more egregious. We are paying extra for Apple TV Plus or Season Pass and still deal with commercials during match play. A firm line must be drawn on this. Red Zone does not have commercials. Golasso does not have commercials. It's never acceptable to run commercials while the ball is in play. Please take a stand on this for the sake of soccer fans everywhere, instead of going on and on about football culture while sitting through a bunch of insurance ads. So let me say a couple of things on this too, because these are good points. These are valid points. I would say, though, MLS 360 is available for free. So when you go to MLS Season Pass every weekend, even if you don't subscribe to MLS Season Pass, you can watch MLS 360 for free. Apple and MLS going into this really a joint venture, kind of a partnership. Apple, as part of this deal, have launched their own ad network. And they see MLS as an ideal way to go ahead and begin that ad network and sell some major sponsorship deals and sponsorship packages, and then wrap those around MLS 360. To me personally, because it's available for free, I don't have an issue with them having commercials. Now, Peacock with Goal Rush, yes, there's no commercials, but you're paying a subscription fee to get Goal Rush. Paramount Plus and the Golasso Show, you pay a subscription fee to get Paramount Plus. It still has commercials, right? It's usually during halftime or pre-match or post-match, but during the games themselves, you don't. For me personally, what I've done with MLS 360, when I watched it and it breaks to a commercial and I'm like, oh, no, I'll just change the channel and go to one of the games and watch one of the games for the 3 minutes and then go back to MLS 360. And usually the commercials are over by then and I'm right back in. So I'm not missing a beat in terms of, it makes me kind of try to watch some of the other games for a few minutes and then go back if commercials are an issue. Kartik, I know that may not be what most people think in terms of their opinions, but where are you with this?
So this goes back to the lack of, I think, education that's happened from MLS and Apple about the actual package. So MLS 360 is free for anyone every week. As you mentioned, the impression many, if not most soccer fans in this country have is that it's behind the paywall. So I think the people who are actually watching it and sending in messages to our mailbag have bought MLS Season Pass and assume it's behind the paywall. So they're holding it to the same standard as things that are on Paramount Plus and on Peacock and on ESPN Plus, et cetera. HBO Max, right? They're covering soccer now. So, I think that's part of the problem. There is so much confusion, even in spite of the fact that you put out a primer, Chris, on February. We were hoping it would be February 1st, ended up being like February 20th. But a primer about the accessibility of Apple MLS Season Pass. There is still so much confusion about it, and this is the fault of Apple and MLS. I'm not saying, oh, the fans are ignorant and dumb and they don't get it, like some people on social media have said about them. Oh, it's very clear. No, MLS and Apple need to do a better job of telling people what's available for free, how easy it is, even if you have an Android device or you're a web browser, to watch these matches or watch the things that are free, and make a point of it. They haven't done that.
Yeah, that MLS Season Pass FAQ that we built was over 3,000 words, had over 50 questions, and went into lots of detail about every single point of this. And it took about 2 weeks to actually write and research and finish. And it's something that I think in many ways still right now, communication is an issue. So the lack of communication from MLS and Apple on what's happening. For example, a couple of examples. Jesse Marsh was on MLS 360 last weekend, and there was no communication that went out. Well, actually, there was a communication that went out. It went out on Friday. But however, I think the news leaked on Thursday, not through an official communication, but through Twitter. It leaked on Thursday that he was going to be on. So if they knew on Thursday, they should jump on that, get the communications out there. Hey, this Saturday, Thursday in advance of Saturday gives people a more opportunity to find out about the information, rather on Friday where people are maybe taking the day off work or for the weekend, a long weekend, and missing out on the information. Get the information out there on Thursday. Jesse Marsh is going to be on. We're going to be discussing Leeds United or the US men's national team job, and also what time. Nobody knew what time it was going to be on. I missed it. I missed the segment. I knew it was going to be on, but I missed it because MLS 360 in its totality is about 5 hours long. I'm not going to watch 5 hours. I'll watch 2 or 3 hours, sometimes 4 hours, but I missed it. So that's the first issue. The other issue, I think, is advertising. I've seen so little advertising from MLS and Apple about MLS season pass. You were mentioning, too, about the live reads on the March Madness for CBS Sports Glass or Network. But however, on the MLS season pass, I've seen very little advertising. So, in terms of that advertising can be talking about MLS 360. Watch it for free. And then if you like it, go ahead and subscribe. And we've got all the games. So there's been very little advertising, very little communication. And I think both MLS and Apple can do a much better job on that in getting the information across, because it is confusing. I mean, it took us 2 weeks to kind of go through every single possibility of how it works and answering all the questions in infinite detail. You mean, talking to Apple, talking to MLS, talking to people within the business to get all the details in there, doing the research ourselves and actually using a browser versus using a Roku versus an Amazon Fire versus an Android phone, etc. So it was a lot of work. It's worth it because the information's out there. But I think the league and Apple need to do a much better job. And then two more questions to go. MLS Season Pass, Dave has a question. He says, have you seen data on metrics like viewership, paying subscribers, etc.? Much of the success or failure of the MLS Season Pass experiments will be driven by whether MLS single team fans and or casual fans spend additional money and time on MLS. It sounds like everyone involved is giving the best effort. Creating an event with scarcity, Saturday evening games and associated whip around show is smart. And Dave, that's the big question, is that Apple is not going to release streaming numbers. So we will never know how they're doing unless there's some unverified report or some leaked information out there, which is unlikely because everyone's going to be tight-lipped about this. So we will probably never know how good or how bad. Now, if the numbers are really good, they will find a way to get that information out there. You mean maybe it's percentages. You mean the amount of people watching MLS Season Pass on week 6 has increased by 20% compared to week 1 or whatever it is. Some type of metrics. There's been zero metrics other than that unverified source. Yeah, and that's the big thing that Dave mentions too, Kartik, which ties into what we talked about before, is MLS single team fans and also the casual fans. And I don't think the casual fans are turning to MLS Season Pass and subscribing and watching in the numbers that MLS and Apple hoped they would. And that's the other thing too. One more thing on this one too, Kartik, is I've been disappointed with Apple. I mean, like, there was so much talk about Apple using all of their marketing might to get behind this and all the millions, if not billions, of iPhones available worldwide to get the message across, to make sure that people know about MLS Season Pass. I don't own an Apple phone. I have an Apple laptop. I have Apple TV, the product, the actual hockey puck. But I've seen very little marketing might from Apple thus far.
It's kind of in your face.
Apple iPhone user.
Yeah. I was going to say it's kind of in my face on my iPad and on the iPhone to the point where it's annoying. But I think, again, it's sort of in my face, honestly, on the iPhone and on the iPad. I get much more marketing than I expected from Apple. now, I don't know if it's targeted. I don't know if it's because there's an algorithm and they know first that I'm a soccer fan and then that I signed up after they hit me with a couple ads starting in early February, and that from that point on, oh, maybe we'll just keep reminding this guy. Or if it's completely untargeted and it's going to anyone with an iPhone anywhere in the world, because this is a global deal, which is another issue. I'm hearing that this is probably for another podcast another time, but I'm hearing there are issues with MLS now being off of media, but not having media partners abroad, and that affecting MLS coverage in those countries. But that's another subject for another day. But I don't know how targeted it is, and I don't see it. You know, let's just go back to the example of March Madness. Every time FAU played, every time Miami played, I saw multiple reminders about the Golasso channel, and I shouldn't imply that there were no Champions League or NWSL reads or ads. There were. It just wasn't as constant as the Golasso channel. But there are three other soccer products there that are in your face in the biggest sporting event in the United States during the month of March. And there's no MLS at all. So that's a problem.
And that's the thing, though, too. Apple, which is a problem, Apple does not have a TV network. So in this deal that MLS did with Apple, they made sure to stick around with Fox. And Fox is their TV property. Fox is the way of reaching a mass audience. And we all know how well Fox does in terms of their TV coverage, which is pretty abysmal. So Fox also is not stepping up and doing as good of a job of promotion, promoting these games and getting press releases out to get people excited about this. And Fox has really no incentive. Right? I mean, Fox doesn't want to go ahead and generate subscriptions to Apple, right? To them, it's a competitor. They're a media giant, Fox, and so is Apple. And Apple's treading on their turf, getting more into the sports side of things, and probably potentially in the future, bidding for the same property. I wouldn't be surprised in the next TV deal that the Bundesliga... You mean maybe they have discussions with Fox? I mean, maybe they have discussions with Apple as well as ESPN. And what if Apple gets the Bundesliga?
And what if Apple gets global deals? This is the other thing for Fox. I don't blame Fox at all. I know people like to bash Fox. Apple now, this MLS deal is a global deal. Let's not forget that. So they're encroaching on Fox's properties in other countries, although they sold most of that to Disney. But they're encroaching on whatever other broadcasters might want to do in other parts of the world. Paramount Plus is very strong in Australia. They're getting stronger in India. This Apple doing a global deal with MLS doesn't just affect the U.S. market. And if you're a media giant, you like Foxes, you don't want to promote them. Why should you?
This is going to be really fascinating, Kartik. Probably even more than I thought originally. How all this plays out between Apple and MLS. On the TV side, it's the deal with Fox is through until right before the 2026 World Cup. And I'm sure MLS is saying, like, hey, once 2026 rolls around, things are going to just blow up. It's going to be amazing. We're going to get so many signups. However, you've got 2023, 2024, and 2025. Three long years. And I'm sure that Apple and MLS are hoping that those numbers do increase between now and then, because it's going to be tough. And honestly, too, I think MLS really needs to kind of look within itself, but also outside of that bubble and start asking questions or getting feedback or listening, because changes are needed. And I think anyone that's honest, really honest with MLS, knows that there are improvements that could be made. And the league historically has been very stubborn as far as the way that they've kind of avoided that. The other issue with this, Kartik, is that who are MLS's customers? And I would argue it's not the fans. It's the league owners. It's the team owners. They are the customers. So it's like trying to make sure that they're satisfied, that they're happy, that it's not going to impact their ticket gate numbers, the number of people are signing buying tickets. Or so within MLS, I think there's a lot of internal conflict and probably internal battles and strife to try to figure out a way to create a product that's going to satisfy the the end users, which are the soccer fans, but more importantly, the actual team owners. So that's going to be fascinating to see how that internal structure and conflict, how that adapts over time too. One last piece of feedback in the listener mailbag. This is from Kenneth about the CBS Sports Glasso Network. And Kenneth says, the football show on SiriusXM FC just got big competition. And I think he's talking about morning footy. I think, honestly, though, I think it's two different audiences. I think the SiriusXM FC listeners are usually listening to that the football show, are on their way to work, or at work, or commuting. And they're listening to that show, you know, through their car or through on their iPhone or whatever device. And I think the morning footy, it's going to be more so probably a different audience. They're going to be maybe working from home or have a mobile phone where they want to watch something visual. They want to see visual. And a lot of the morning footy, I think, is going to be a lot of the views are probably that they're hoping to get are probably going to be on social media throughout the entire day, where SiriusXM FC, once that football show is over in the morning, you don't really hear much or see much outside of that on social media. All right, listeners, thank you for sticking with us. This has been a long show, but it's great to have Kartik back, and I really appreciate, Kartik, you taking time, because there's a lot of stuff going on in your life right now. So thank you for that. Listeners, if you do want to give us any feedback on anything we've discussed today or anything that you have in terms of questions about soccer TV or streaming, get in touch with us. There's a bunch of different ways. The website is worldsoccertalk.com. And then you go to the podcast in the navigation and leave your comments in the latest episode. You can reach us on Twitter at World Soccer Talk. You can go to facebook.com/worldsoccertalk and send us a message there, as well as email. Email is web@worldsoccertalk.com. And last but not least, you can leave us a voicemail at 561-247-4625. And Kartik, where can they find you on Twitter, and where can they find your Substack?
Yeah, so you can find me at Twitter at KKFLA737 and Substack at beyondthe90.net. And I have to admit, you know, it's all trial and error, Chris, and you know this too with running World Soccer Talk. There seems to be much more demand for newsletters and articles related to lower division American soccer and specifically in some cases Florida soccer than there is for even the Bundesliga. So kind of the direction of the site has changed, more Open Cup, more USL, NISA, and some other topics, and a lot of lower division English soccer too, which is just, that's my passion. Those numbers aren't great, but strangely enough, since been doing this site now for a couple months, Chris, the least read articles are all about the Bundesliga, which I've written about frequently. So that's very unfortunate. It's at beyondthe90.substack.com. And I think maybe that's just a reflection of... We didn't talk about Der Klassiker in this show because that's kind of a reflection of where things are with the Bundesliga. Yeah. I think it's just a dying interest in the league.
However, I will say, Kartik, a couple of things on this. One is, I think for a newsletter or for a website too, it's all about finding your niche and kind of what makes you different than everything else that's out there. And lower league soccer, whether it's US Open Cup, and there's very little information, really good information about that. So finding the niche sometimes is even a great way to kind of separate yourself from everyone else. And going back to the Bundesliga for a second, just before we head off here, is from this past weekend, from the Der Klassiker, the viewing numbers were great, really, really good. So Bayern Munich against Borussia Dortmund on ABC was 624,000 viewers. MLS, that same day, I think it was the LA Galaxy against Seattle Sounders on Big Fox, was 364,000. So not quite half, but definitely a huge difference between the two. Yes, that Fox number does not include the MLS season pass numbers, the people that watched it on there. However, I wouldn't imagine there'd be a lot of people watching it on MLS season pass for that earlier game. That's just me talking in terms of my thoughts on that. So there are fans out there, but for the Bundesliga, there might be, you know, in subscribing to, if Derek Ray had a Substack, I think it would be through the roof talking about the Bundesliga. In some ways, his Twitter account kind of serves that purpose in terms of that information. So it's nothing against the Bundesliga, nothing against MLS, nothing against lower league soccer. Just, I think, finding that niche that's most important. All right, listeners, thank you so much for listening to the show. Sorry for it. It's been a while since the last one. Heading into a new weekend of soccer from around the world. Kartik, what are you going to do and what should the listeners do?
Enjoy your football.
John and Lucy have been married for 8 years, so they can teach us a thing or two about relationships.
The best way to make a relationship grow is to really ask...
What are you doing?
Why are you talking in that voice? Why don't you say it how you say it?
We're giving advice.
Well, I don't feel well placed to give advice.
Why is that then?
Because I'm in a dysfunctional marriage. Oh.
Brand new comedy, Meet the Richardsons.
There might be some people who haven't seen the show, but they won't know that yet.
Thursday at 10 on Dave. Stream for free on UK TV Play.
That, my friends, is the sound of dropping some serious coin on a takeaway chicken burger. Oh. That's it turning up all stodgy and cold. What a ripper!
Sounds like someone needs the Chicken Witch of the West. Ta love, I'll take it from here.
Bing bang bird's eye. Voila, the ultimate bird's eye chicken shop fillet burger, wrapped in tasty southern fried breadcrumbs and made with 100% chicken breast.
Mm.
Well, my work here is done. Cue heroic music. Bit more. Bird's eye chicken shop fillet burgers. Add a bit of magic to your meal times.
Gum problems can cause more problems, like bad breath and sensitive teeth, which can knock your confidence and take the enjoyment out of eating and drinking. Corsodil Gum Plus Breath and Sensitivity Toothpaste is scientifically proven to target gum problems to help protect your whole mouth. Rediscover your confidence and the food and drink you love. Try Corsodil Gum Plus Breath and Sensitivity Toothpaste.
Meet John.
Hello.
It's Friday night and he's just dented his partner's new car. Now he's wondering if he can make a claim before she gets back home on Monday. Thankfully, Aviva can help solve this car insurance conundrum. We're available for new claims around the clock, so John can sort this out right away. Breaking the news is up to him, though.
Darling?
Helping solve your car insurance puzzles? It takes Aviva. Get a quote today at aviva.co.uk.